Are you ready for the Low Blows Network? Finally.
They finally gave me my own podcast.
Jeremy comes to the Low Blows Network. One of the biggest legends of the Irish wrestling scene, Jerry talks to his wrestling friends and beyond about the hobbies in their lives that they're most nerdy about in Talk Nerdy To Me.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Talk Nerdy To Me. I am your host, Jerry. We are back after a very, very short break. Dave, how the hell are you?
I'm doing all right.
Look at that.
Every time.
I'm sorry, but Dave, I haven't seen you in a little while.
But you know what? Every time you come in here and we do the show, I'm in a state where, you know, I'm in a ball of sweat, it's cold and stuff like that. And my beard couldn't be in worse form. I keep on picking on my mustache because I'm stressed. And, you know, keep on creating, like, curls. Like, you know how you see ladies who do curls in their hair and stuff like that? This is like my male version of that.
But it looks amazing, though. Like, that mustache is just... It's if it was white, you'd be Gandalf.
If it was white, I'd be Gandalf.
Or Dumbledore, you know, whichever your pick is.
I don't know, way to go, I think. Way to go. It hasn't touched the end of my belly yet, so.
Well,
what you
need to do is you need to get a spray can of white and just whiten that up and see what it looks like.
Be a Humperdinck.
You could be Humperdinck's older brother.
Older brother. No. The whole point of it is to try to create the idea that it's realistic that I'm older, of being older. That's not going to work. I can see Joe's face straight away.
Yeah, he'd be like, yeah, that's not going to work. We need to give you some wrinkles or something.
Pretty much.
You know. But, yeah, but Dave, I haven't seen you in a little while.
It's been a while. It's
been a while since I've been in the studio.
Over a month, anyway.
We haven't had a show now in the last couple of weeks because last week... it was my 10th wedding anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
So I took the entire weekend off, wasn't doing anything. We went for a lovely meal in a place called Beef and Lobster up on Parliament Street.
Oh, lovely.
Wow. Like, if I could give something 10 stars, it would be 20 million stars.
No, Parliament Street, that's where Porterhouse is, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'd seen pictures of the food, I'd seen reviews and whatnot, and I was like, okay, right, we'll finally give it a go. I said, let's do it, let's go for it. We booked it, went in. Mm-hmm. I have never, and I can put my hand up and say this, I've never had food like this in Dublin.
Wow.
There's one other place that I would say that would be as good as this, and it's a place in New York called Fogo de Chao.
Fogo de Chao.
And it's the only place in my memory that comes close.
This is like seafood now, or lobster. Or what did you have?
What did I have? I actually got a steak.
Okay.
And my wife got a lobster roll.
Okay.
And I'm not a big fan of lobster, but this was juicy. It was sweet. It was every sensation going in your mouth at once. It was amazing. The steak. A lot of people say, you know, when you go on a night out, well, why would you get steak and just cook steak at home and it tastes just as nice? No, it wouldn't. It would taste nothing like this.
Luck.
It was flame grilled. It was flavored. It was garlicky. It was thymy. It was rosemary. It was
Plus, all these people who are chefs, like, all have all these ideas and perspectives of how a steak can be made. Like, you know, another place you haven't tried it yet. No, I haven't tried it myself, but my brother recommended it. Is Marco Pierre White's joint in Dawson Street.
Oh, now I've wanted to go there for ages, and actually, to tell you the reason I want to go there.
You better recommend steak.
The steak apparently is amazing, but then half the time he's there. Marco Pierre White himself is there because he spends a lot of time here.
Oh yeah,
he's on the. I think it's called the restaurant on RTE.
Okay,
he does talks and classes in his restaurant.
Okay, I didn't know.
I would love to do that.
That'd be class.
Absolutely love to do.
If I was in Australia all the time doing MasterChef.
Well, he used to do that.
He does. I'm not sure if he does it in Australia anymore, but he definitely did.
He used to. I used to watch that one.
It's becoming a bit of a guilty pleasure, I have to say.
I'm watching the celebrity version now of the English one, MasterChef. Celebrity MasterChef.
Cool.
And I'm actually really liking that because you see them when they start out, they're shite.
Yeah.
And now it's like week 10 or whatever it is, and God, they're making gourmet food and like, why can't I do that?
You ever seen the kids' version of that, by the way?
They're so much better.
Oh, genie, Mac.
So much better. They're so much more creative.
That's it. They have imagination. So that's the difference. Yeah. You know, they're able to make all these different cakes in certain styles, in certain ways, which you'd be lucky to see it, like, well, certainly, like, any chefs, right, like, do the, in that sort of style as well, yeah. Like, even the way it's presented. So, we couldn't get more nerdy right now talking about food.
No, I'm absolutely starving now. And I've nothing in front of me, but now and ever. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have another fantastic show for you today. And it is none other, ladies and gentlemen, than our nerdy news. Yeah, hey, that was a nice pop.
Pop goes the weasel. Uh-oh.
That's a better pop than anything that was on Raw the other night.
Certainly, now the end of Hell in the Cell.
Yeah, hey.
I don't even watch it, but like, or I don't even really know what happens. I heard, I heard vaguely what happens. But all I know is that there's a lot of backlash from it.
Absolute killings over it.
Well, they're intelligent to leave him off Raw. That's all I know. Or did they?
It was the weirdest Raw I've ever seen. It was like there was no structure to it. It was just randomness. Completely. Like, the whole thing started. I didn't really watch it. I looked at the highlights and I'm going through the highlights and going, oh, they haven't finished writing the highlights yet. Oh, I better wait. But no, that was the entire show. And was 3 hours of this?
The entire show was Braun Strowman and Tyson Fury.
Yeah, that took like a half an hour of the end of the show. Oh,
really?
Yeah, apparently.
Of them pushing and shoving each other?
Pushing and shoving. Is it going to lead to a match like Tyson Fury? What the hell?
It's like the next best. It's like the best thing they can come up with compared to Tyson and Austin back in '98. Here we are in 2019.
There is no comparison. That's there, the point. Dave. No comparison. We're going off topic. We're going completely going off topic. But ladies and gentlemen, we've got a nerdy news for you today. My God, the sheer amount we've got here.
Yeah, we have a lot to talk about.
A lot to talk about today, Dave.
Not just food.
Not just food. The very first thing we're going to talk about is obviously the. This show is going to air a little bit after we have recorded it, but as of recording, the Joker has been released.
Yes.
Critics going crazy for it, absolutely saying one of the best films ever, one of the best comic book films ever made.
Iconic performance from Joaquin Phoenix, according to critics.
According to critics, but when it comes to general public, it's a bit of a mixed reaction, Dave.
Well, you know, from what we've heard of the reason for, like, we've heard stories about some people who have watched the movie, who have walked out of the cinema due to stark and disturbing situations. But we've also heard of really peculiar reasons. Like, we understand why, but we don't, like, for me personally, I don't see why it's reason to walk out. That's just my opinion.
There's been certain things, obviously, a lot of people don't like, because apparently there's a lot of gore in it. Is what I'm being told.
Okay.
A lot of blood, a lot of guts, a lot of gore. And that's why people are walking out. But then there's another reason that some people aren't even going to the cinema. And I can absolutely understand why. I can.
Yeah, me too.
Now, no spoilers here, ladies and gentlemen. It is literally just saying that it's...
None of us have seen it yet,
haven't seen it yet. Going to go and see it tomorrow.
I'll see it this week, too.
But apparently people are boycotting it for the reason that a song in it is sung by Gary Glitter.
Okay.
Now, of course, we all know who Gary Glitter is, and I'm not going to go into the details of Gary Glitter.
We'll say no more.
We'll say no more about that, but people are actually not going because of it, and some other people have left the cinema because of it, and they've also left because they found it disturbing, they found it too gory, they found it too sadistic, and apart from the Gary, we'd shoved the Gary Glitter stuff aside, all that other stuff makes me want to go and see it more.
Yeah.
That just goes to tell you my mind. But I can't wait to see this movie.
So it's more of, and the thing is, like we talked about before of how, like, you know, certain, I think we talked about in the last show where Marvel have probably looked into more of the idea of horror movies.
Yes.
Like going forward, I forget what exactly it was about, but certainly.
Well, Doctor Strange is reportedly going to be the first MCU horror movie or horror-based movie.
Well, you got to give DC some credit then if they're a step ahead with this one.
Oh, absolutely. I think. They're definitely ahead of the curve in terms of comic book movies. Mm-hmm. And I really hope I like this movie. Now, saying that, the critics have been going crazy for it. The general public reaction to it has been
mixed.
A little bit mixed. But when it comes to...
It's generally positive, but there is negativity to it.
But when it comes to people that I know that have seen it, I'm looking at Facebook posts and Twitter posts and Instagram posts, I haven't seen a single...
Bad word
to say about it. A couple of people said it's a fantastic film. It's not a great comic film, but it's a fantastic film. See, this is the thing about it. Because I haven't seen it yet, I can't judge it. But I'm already saying, are we going to get more from Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker? Are we going to get him in a Batman movie? That's something that I would like to see. For me, we got Heath Ledger once. We got Jack Nicholson once. And if Marvel have taught us anything, is that prolonging a bad guy is a good thing. Look at Thanos. Thanos was over at 23 movies. Now, he wasn't in 23 movies, but the thought of him was there. The his presence was felt. He was in a couple of scenes.
The seeds of what would eventually be his weapon.
Exactly.
In the very first movie, which we released in the timeline, which was Captain America.
Exactly.
And now all the way to that one. So certainly
right through to 23 movies.
The seeds were started all the way till then. Yeah. So
I personally, if any DC villain was to stick around for more than one movie, I'm hoping it's going to be Joker, and I'm hoping it's going to be Joaquin Phoenix. I don't know. As far as I'm aware, it's again, it's not spoilerish, but apparently there's very little about you know, Batman era characters and things like that. So obviously it's an origin movie to the Joker. I'm very interested to see where they go with this. I wouldn't be a comic expert. My good friend Mr. Vic Viper would be a little bit more intuitive on these things.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I'm aware, in the comics, there's three separate Jokers.
Okay.
And three separate people play the Joker, but become the Joker.
Okay.
Now, I'm as far as I'm aware, it's like different universes type situation. But in one particular comic, Batman has to face all three. So you've got the likes of the Jack Nicholson Joker, where he basically creates the Joker. He accidentally lets him fall into a vat of chemicals.
Right.
Then you've got someone like the Joaquin Phoenix Joker that just cracks.
Yeah,
and he just snaps, and that creates the Joker. The last one, don't know. I think probably more likely to be like the Dark Knight Joker. What's his bloody name?
Heath Ledger.
Thank you. Heath Ledger Joker. So if you imagine having all three of those Jokers in the one movie, now that would be insane.
How on earth would they three of them coexist?
It would be great.
Never mind. No, the movie itself would just be how the three of them would coexist. Never mind Batman. You don't need Batman for
Batman
that.
Batman would be standing. I was like, I'm just going to stand
that
right
first
here.
Movie is just how they coexist. Yeah. Batman's just waiting outside in the cold.
Batman's just going to stand in the background. I'll just stand back here. Thanks. Yeah, you just deal with yourselves. But overall, Joker, it's getting good reviews. I'm going to see it tomorrow. Myself and the wife said, right, no, we need to go and see this. We booked the tickets. We're ready to go. She, I'm in work tomorrow, and she even said, have your lunch early.
Yeah.
There's not going to be any dinner when you come home. We're just going to go, and we're going to gorge on cinema foods. So we're going to get popcorn and nachos and sweets and drinks and ice cream. We're going to get it all.
When the wife says it, it has to be done.
Oh, well, listen, she's the boss. So whatever she says goes. So, you know, I'm just going to have to take one for the team here, lads, and just go out and gorge myself.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Things you must do for your 10-year anniversary. Jesus
Christ. Oh, that's behind us now, Dave. That's behind us.
Post-10-year anniversary.
Post-10-year anniversary. 10 years and... 10 years and 3 weeks or 2 weeks, whatever it is.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much. So moving on, we're going to stay with DC now. And Dave, you have a little bit of news. Because have you watched the trailer for this, Dave?
For which is this?
Birds of Prey.
Oh, yes, I have. Now, so Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn, as it comes towards
as
a trailer.
Is that the actual name?
Well, certainly Birds of Prey is how it's short titled. But if you watch the trailer, it just comes in towards the end. So the trailer was released very recently, and basically it's just a new movie. The idea of it is basically post Suicide Squad.
Okay.
Where Harley Quinn, then, who's now no longer with the Joker,
Ooh. Is
now recruiting women to join a group, a gang of her own, and raising hell against everybody now.
Okay.
So, I don't know too many of the people who are casting it so far, but the bad guy in this is Ewan McGregor.
Now, I've seen a couple of kind of snapshots of him playing Black Mask, I believe. That's who he's playing, isn't it? Black Mask.
I don't know the name of the character. I just got clips of him there.
In terms of the character, now you'll have to correct me. If anyone wants to correct me, that's fine. I think he was in Arkham Origins, which was a PlayStation Xbox game.
Okay.
Batman Arkham Origins. I think Black Mask was the main bad guy.
You voiced him?
No. Sorry. Just that's the character was there. The character was there. And it's Black Mask is basically he's obviously a villain. He goes around wearing really, really nice suits, and he has a black mask, but it's like a skeleton mask.
I haven't seen him.
He can't take it off because it's kind of fused to his face.
Yeah.
So he can't take it off, and he's like the main bad guy in Arkham Origins,
right?
Which is a PlayStation game. I've actually never played it. I've played all the other Arkham games, never played that one. So that's who Hugh McGregor is going to be playing. I have seen some very, very blurry shots of what's supposed to be him in full costume with the mask on. I'm not going to lie, looks fantastic. Even though it's a blurry shot that I've seen, looks amazing. You can't go wrong with Hugh McGregor. Let's be honest, you just can't go wrong with
him. Well, when was the last time Hugh McGregor played an antagonist? I can't remember. Because I've only seen his character. I only recall his characters as being good, like Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like
The Island? No. He was like a clone or something like that.
I mean, Trainspotting, he was technically a bit of both, but that's a different story.
Oh, we like tweeners.
Yeah.
Tweeners are good.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I like Margot Robbie. This is something I was actually talking to the wife about, is the fact that Margot Robbie she could play any character.
Yeah.
You give her a character, she can do it. But not only that.
The Queen, great example.
Exactly. You look at...
Queen Mary Scott, sorry.
No, she wasn't Queen Mary.
But yeah, but the point is...
It was the Scott, film, yeah. Mary Scott. You look at... Harley Quinn, and she just looks like Harley Quinn. Absolutely amazing. Then you look at her Queen Elizabeth, or whatever, she was Queen,
and
Mary Queen of Scots. She was fantastic in that. Then there was another movie that we were looking at today, and I was like, that doesn't look like her. And it was like the first time I'd seen her with just really dark hair, and it completely aged her. Now, obviously, it was done on purpose, and so she can. Her playing age, in terms of acting, her playing age is like a good 10, 15 years from her actual age. So she can go up or down in terms of her age. Like, you know, Wolf of Wall Street, amazing,
yeah,
absolutely brilliant. Does anything she does, anything she puts her hand to, she exemplifies and absolutely brilliant. I'm really excited for this Birds of Prey. This could be a standout. And then, of course, Birds of Prey is going to lead then into another Suicide Squad movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to try and list the amount of names that are in this film. But it looks like Will Smith won't be returning as Deadshot.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
He was, for me, the best character.
He was brilliant in it.
Had the best story,
yes,
certainly.
Absolutely. And as far as I'm aware, he's being replaced by Idris Elba.
That's not bad now.
That's a good replacement.
That's not bad, but I don't know.
That's a good replacement. As far as I'm aware, Margot Robbie's going to be in it. He's going to be in it as Deadshot. I think it's Deadshot. I'm not 100% about that.
Yeah, Deadshot.
Then you've got a couple of the original actors from the Suicide Squad are going to be back as well.
Okay.
But not all of them. There's no sign of the Joker.
No Jared Leto.
No Jared Leto, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because I didn't particularly like his portrayal of it.
Certainly in the back of this movie coming up, maybe it's not necessary.
Exactly. It's an all-star cast coming into this. I can't remember half the names that was in it, but two actually that stand out was Nathan Fillion, who is from... Oh, now.
Nathan Fillion. All that's
yeah. It's no surprise that he's in something like this. He's a real sci-fi guy. He's in so many different things. What have you got there, Dave?
I don't recognize him at all, to be honest with you. I'm just looking at his picture. Him with his weird smile. He was in the giant movie. He was in movies called Serenity.
That's it, Serenity. Yeah, because that came from a TV series. I only got
Captain
one season.
Mel Reynolds and Firefly.
There we go. He was in Firefly, so you know people are excited to see him in it. But another person as well is the for the love of God, get this name right, Jared. Taika Waititi. There we go. I think I got it right. I hope I did. The director of Thor, He's part of the MCU as well as Korg, who's a fantastic character, one of the funniest characters in Thor and in anything else. Absolutely brilliant. He's going to be in Suicide Squad as well.
Nice.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see as well. But the most interesting thing about Suicide Squad is that it's being made by Guardians of the Galaxy creator James Gunn.
Okay. And you know what's really good about that? Because he'll understand how to make movies full of misfits. Or at least people who are
exactly
put together. Like
he's going to use his success on Guardians of the Galaxy to transfer it over now to DC. But not only that, he's confirmed that he's coming back for one and one more Guardians of the Galaxy. It's going to be Volume 3 coming out. Now, I did hear a couple of rumours about this during the week that it was going to be set about 10 years after Endgame.
Ah.
So it does kind of muddy things up a bit at exactly how that's going to work. Now, that is only a rumour.
So Groot will be a tree again, I imagine.
Groot will be a tree. Hopefully they will have found Gamora.
Maybe an entire forest and who solves climate change or something.
Yay!
Like that.
Yay! Name him Greta. It'll be fine. Yeah, now it's only a rumour that's going to be that, but there are various sort of rumours going about it. How Thor fits into that now, I don't know. If it's 10 years later, I hope he does, because the Asgardians of the Galaxy would be amazing.
Yeah.
But seeing as we're talking a little bit about Marvel...
Yeah, since we're on the
Dave,
topic.
You got to cue that music, baby.
Yeah, bear with me, bear with me, bear with me. And someone, two.
Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah!
Yes, Dave.
It's nothing to do with Damien Sandow, but
it has nothing to do with Damien Sandow.
Ladies
and gentlemen, my one present that I wanted from my wife for my 10th anniversary was to have Spider-Man back in the MCU.
Way.
And he is back.
Yes, he is.
Sony and Marvel have finally come to an agreement that he is going to be back in the MCU. Now, the full details of the deal have not been made public yet. But all we know is that, yes, he's coming back for Spider-Man 3. And he's going to be part of another buddy movie. So him and maybe, I'd love to see him in Deadpool.
Oh.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
And he's going to be in an Avengers movie.
Yeah. Yes.
So I would imagine there is a possibility that they have this deal now, and that's fine. There will be more negotiating as the years go on. If they can't come to another agreement, they are definitely going to have to kill him off.
Unfortunately.
Now, the rumours coming out of the deal were that if this was all go to plan, which, fingers crossed, touch wood, it does, there would be references to the Sony Marvel Universe in MCU films, and there would be reference of MCU characters in the Sony Universe. Which I think is a good thing, but not only that.
But it only adds to teases that they already do, you know?
Exactly, but it'll be more pronounced, more teasing. But not only that, as far as I'm aware, MCU are going to get Tom Holland as Spider-Man, and so is Sony. So mm-hmm. Sony are looking to introduce him into their new kind of villain universe that they have, which started with Venom.
Yes. Now,
Venom has obviously come out as this kind of anti-hero now.
Yeah, yeah.
So if he had this kind of... If he had like a little bit of a fight with Tom Holland's Spider-Man, you could have references
to Iron Man
and stuff like that.
They have to do that.
I think it would be amazing.
I love
absolutely
that so much
brilliant.
When I was a child with the cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
And it would totally avenge Spider-Man 3 from a few years ago with Tobey Maguire and Topher Grace, oh dear God, as Venom.
Which is funny now, the fact that I can't even imagine Topher Grace being anything other than skinny.
Yeah.
I watched That 70 Show too much.
Like, I remember way back when the film came out, and me and Mr. Vic Viper seeing it, and he was so disgusted. He was like, Topher fucking Grace. Like, he's supposed to be big. He's supposed to be a big guy. Like, okay, he might be short, but he's supposed to be big. So then when Tom Hardy was cast, we're like, oh yeah, now you look at him, he looks like the guy that plays Venom.
Now we're talking.
Oh, absolutely. But not only that, see what they did with the original, with the Topher Grace, was the fact that it just simply looked like Topher Grace was wearing a suit, like a Spider-Man suit. or a Batman suit or whatever.
Yeah.
Whereas Tom Hardy, when he transforms into Venom, he goes from being Tom Hardy to being somebody who's three times Tom Hardy's size. And that's exactly what Venom does.
Which is a very big man.
Yes, which that's exactly what Venom does. Venom takes you over and creates this, like, you're literally, he is on you. Mm. Venom is on you. But he makes you look a hell of a lot bigger than you are. Like, that's why Venom was so good. And I think that's why Sony had such balls going into this deal. Knowing that, listen, we created this really good movie. And we'll take Spider-Man back if we want.
Mm.
And they could. They could have just said, you know what? No, you're not having him back. We're going to take Tom Hardy. We're going to put him with Venom. And we're going to create our own MCU and screw you, Marvel.
And what?
Which they really could have done.
Probably should have.
I'm really glad they didn't.
Probably will. Probably will.
But another rumors was is that Venom could potentially become part of the MCU, which I think would be a big deal. Now, here's the problem.
Okay.
Venom, like the new Joker movie and like Deadpool for that, are all movies that are tailor-made for over 18s. And it's going to be difficult enough to bring Deadpool into the MCU. It's going to be near impossible.
But in the general perspective of the next era of Avengers, it's not. What you're saying, it's not as possible. It's not that possible as you may, because of all these themes.
Well, you look at
because more adult.
Look at all 23 of the Infinity Saga movies. They're all tailor made for. I think it was. I think the rating they got was 12A.
Okay.
So if you were younger than 12, you had to be accompanied by an adult. Which is fine. I don't think there was anything bad in any of those movies. I think they were all absolutely fine.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at Deadpool. Deadpool was the it was the biggest biggest box office for an R-rated movie ever. Which is absolutely amazing. Tom Hardy came close behind him. And then we'll see how Joker goes at this. So obviously there's money to be made for the adult team. But when it comes to Venom and when it comes to Deadpool, how are you going to sell that to kids? You can't.
No.
Now there was the once upon a Deadpool, which was supposedly was re-released so that kids could watch it. Please don't let your kids watch it. It's just as bad. Me and my wife said, right, well, let's have a look at it and we'll see if our son can watch it, because he, you know, he's 9, so he's starting to get curious about certain things and movies and whatnot. Like, he's absolutely crazy. Now, I haven't let him watch it, Dave. I'm just going to put it out there. Yeah. He's not seen it, but he's crazy about Pennywise and It. I mean, crazy about it.
Your son's funny.
I came home.
You.
I came home the other day, and he was in full Pennywise costume, face paint, hair. Now, in fairness, God bless him, the hair looked more like Annie than Pennywise.
Have you showed him about movies?
No, he hasn't seen either.
Oh.
No, that's what I said. He hasn't seen them. He is too young to see them.
Oh, okay.
The only horror-based kind of film that he's ever watched was Jaws.
That's not really a horror movie.
It's not, no. It's more of a thriller.
Yeah.
Although he has watched it more than once. But when it comes to a particular scene, he's like, no, turn it off.
Yeah.
And it's the scene where the child gets eaten.
Yeah. yeah, those red splashes coming out of his legs.
I'm definitely going to help. But anyway, Sony and Marvel have made the agreement. Spider-Man is back. We will have to wait and see how it goes. I really hope they don't kill him off. I really do. I really hope that there can come some sort of agreement that they both use Spider-Man. That would be fantastic. And I think it would be even more beneficial for us, the fans. I think the fans would. It's something the fans want. And they're going to make a huge amount of money.
Well, I'll give you a quote that Kevin Feige has said about Spider-Man when talking about this new agreement.
Yeah. Like
he said, quote, "Spider-Man is a powerful icon and hero whose story crosses all ages and audiences across the world. He also happens to be the only superhero with the superpower to cross cinematic universes. So as Sony continues to develop their own Spidey-verse, you never know what surprises the future may hold."
Well, see, that's a clear indication that you're going to see Tom Holland Spider-Man in the next Venom.
Yeah.
100%. And I think it's going to be great for us. It's going to be great for Marvel. It's going to be great for Sony.
Mm.
They're going to all make a shit ton of money. And everyone's going to be happy.
Yeah. Now, speaking of Kevin Feige, he's also been taught now to be in line now to be producing the next Star Wars movie.
Oh, now.
For Disney.
Now, Kevin Feige, instrumental in creating the MCU. He is the main man behind the MCU. I can see only good things coming from that.
Here's the thing that confuses me a little about this, because I have all the bits here. So Disney and Lucasfilm heads Caitlin Kennedy, who are working on what the future holds for the Star Wars franchise, and apparently believe it won't hurt to have Feige around. But you already have Rian Johnson, who was in charge of the last Star Wars movies, and both David Benioff and DP Wes, who were the guys who produced Game of Thrones.
The Game of Thrones guys. They were the showrunners.
Yes, they were the guys. So these guys are the creatives who are also going to be working on projects. Do they really need Feige there as well?
Well, you see, the rumours going out, and it's a big, big rumour, Dave, is the fact that because Rian Johnson's movie, which was Last Jedi, was, even though it made over $1 billion in merchandise, been amazing, the whole lot, blah, blah, blah. It's been so critically panned
as a film
by people that the big rumor is that he's been cut. He's done. He's not going to be making anymore. Now, officially, he's still there and he has his own trilogy. It's not a standalone film. He has his own trilogy that he's going to make.
That's what's coming up.
The original announcement was Johnson trilogy, D.B. Weiss, David Benioff series of movies.
Okay.
That's we don't know if that's 2, 4, 50. God knows. They're there as well. And now you got Feige going in. But I can see Feige coming in only as a good thing. You see, you look at what he has done with the MCU.
Yeah.
He has created something over the last 11 years, 23 movies that have all had some sort of link between each and every movie, has made multiple billions for Marvel, Disney, has left a very happy place in people's hearts. I absolutely love the MCU. I think
and
it's
that's
my
the thing,
thing,
because it could be a while then, because of Marvel, that he might that he actually will start working with Star Wars to eventually get his bit, because he still has obligations, obviously, with Phase 4 happening right now.
Yeah.
But the Eternals will probably be the one that they'll be led by, that phase, you could argue.
I think they'll be the next big ones.
Yeah.
You've got the next movie coming out is going to be Black Widow.
Yeah.
Her standalone movie.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm aware,
it's a prequel.
Yeah. Now, it's not going to be prequel. It'll be
Origins.
A little bit. Because apparently it's been reported now that Downey Jr. will be donning the suit one more time because he's going to be making a cameo in this movie. So we're talking about it's a prequel, but it's not prequel. It's not going to go all the way back to the start for her. So it'll be interesting to see exactly what way they do it for her. But you look at everything, Feige obviously has a lot on his plate. He's going to be part of and produce all the new TV series coming out that's going to go to Disney Plus, all the new movies coming out, and he's going to be doing Star Wars as well. And he's going to be doing the new Spider-Man as well that's coming out, because obviously when it comes to Spider-Man, they're co-produced or co-made with Sony. So he's going to be working with it as well. So he's a lot on his plate. But if he can do all of that and have done 23 movies in the MCU, I say give him a Star Wars movie. Let's see how he can do.
He certainly has the CV to back it up anyway. Yeah.
When it comes to the Star Wars movies, we don't know anything about Rian Johnson's. We haven't a clue what's going on with him. There's been no new announcements, nothing.
Especially if there's rumours going around that he's been let go.
Exactly, yeah. With the Game of Thrones lads, David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, the big rumour is that theirs is going to be a series of movies set in the Old Republic. So we're talking around about 1,000 years before the original Star Wars movies.
Doesn't that just suit them down to the ground?
Oh, I tell you, it would suit me down to the ground. It's when it comes to Star Wars and Star Wars games, I love my Star Wars games. And there was a fantastic game for the original Xbox many moons ago. It was called Knights of the Old Republic. And it's, to this day, probably still my favourite. Don't mind Star Wars game. Probably one of my favourite games ever. Because I follow the story of you were a soldier, you'd lost your memory, and you're trying to regain your memory. And then all of a sudden, you actually realise, you're actually the bad guy. You're the bad guy, and you have to make a decision.
I heard of this, yeah.
Are you going to stay the bad guy, or are you going to go back to light?
Yeah.
It's an amazing... And you can there's multiple choices. It's a multiple choice
thing.
So
it's like that game Fable, except it's more a Star Wars version, if you like.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant.
Yeah.
They brought out a second one. And it was the same gameplay as the first one. The story wasn't quite as good, but it's still one of my favourite ones. And now they have what's called Star Wars The Old Republic. It's an online game. Massive multiplayer online game. And that's just as good. Absolutely amazing. It's a little bit, say, more long-winded. Anything to do with Star Wars, I absolutely love it. So there's so much coming out here, and if they make something like that, I'm going to be really, really happy.
I'm just imagining that all of a sudden they're just thinking of the guy, the Game of Thrones guys. Imagine if there was like a Game of Thrones Star Wars era sort of mixed up together. Like, imagine they actually killed Ned Stark by freezing him, like they did with Han Solo or something like that, rather than actually
frozen Ned Stark frozen in carbonite.
Yeah. Thing is, we come back. Thing is, though, they'd end up bringing them back then if it was possible.
It would turn out that the Night King is actually the Emperor. There you go. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here first.
Anyway.
Moving slowly on.
Continuing with science fiction.
Continuing on with a star, but it's not Star Wars this time. It is Star Trek. Star Trek Picard. The brand new trailer was featured at New York Comic Con there just last weekend.
No, I haven't seen this, so...
I've watched it.
Compared to the first one, because the first one was amazing.
The first trailer?
First trailer was fantastic.
First trailer was amazing. This was even more so, because you got to see a little bit more about what's going on.
Mm.
It seems there's a few problems in the Federation. Don't really know exactly what's going on, but seems a little bit dirty, a little more gritty. Mr. Picard, he's Mr. Picard now. He's no longer captain or admiral or anything like that. He's no longer in Starfleet. He's on his family's vineyard, growing grapes and making some lovely Chateau Picard wine.
Ooh.
And that's what he's doing. And voila. He names his dog after his former first officer.
Who's that again?
Well, his first officer was Will Riker. And he used to always call him Number One. And he called the dog Number One. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Can you imagine? Oh,
love it.
No, but this is so funny. Oh, okay, time to go to the toilet, Number One.
Number One, go to Number Two. Number One, did you do your Number Two? absolutely brilliant.
That's a funny name. Just go off topic just while we're on that. Do you know the guy who's the speaker in the House of Commons? I don't know his name.
Oh, John Burkow.
Yes. Do you know what his dog is named?
Go on.
Order.
Oh, his name is...
His kid's named Order. Deliberately because of his job.
In fairness, though, I wouldn't be an expert on English politics, but when it comes to anything to do with the House of Commons, John Burkow is amazing. Order! Order! He's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, but
he's
now,
the best thing about it.
Yeah, 100%.
And he's retiring. Oh, it's
yeah,
so
but they great. Go. Yeah, but they retire quite. They have very short reigns, pretty much. The head of speakers, like there.
I think he's only doing. I think he's about 9 or 10 years doing it.
He's been doing it since David Cameron became prime minister, or something around that line, just before Gordon Brown left. I think.
That'd be 08, 09, right about that time.
Like a bit later than that, I think.
A little bit later than that. He's doing it a few years, anyway.
6, 7 years,
but
yeah.
But he's fantastic.
Yeah, but that's never going to leave him if he, like, while the dog's around.
No, order! 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 And people will be looking, going, he thinks he's still in the House of Commons. He's actually calling his bloody dog. But let's get back to Picard.
Back to Picard number one.
We got our first glimpse of the other number one, which was Captain Will Riker. Something, you know, I don't think people expected. I think people expected to see him on the bridge of a starship again. But he was just casually in his kitchen cleaning his dishes. And he's wearing an apron and he gets a call saying, Captain Picard is here. And he turns around, a look of shock on his face. So he has a little chat on the porch with his old captain. And it looks like he's going to help him in some sort of way. We then get glimpses of other characters that are going to be there. You've got Seven of Nine. She seems to be playing a big role in this. And for anyone who's watched Star Trek, she was the Borg, liberated Borg from Star Trek Voyager.
Mm.
And for me, she was more like Data when she was in Voyager, because she was very, you know, I talk like this, and she didn't really have any emotion. Whereas now
it went along as the series progressed.
Exactly,
similar to Data.
Her humanity seemed to come out a bit more.
Yeah.
But she was always fairly robotic in the things that she did. But it seems now that it's 20 years. It's about 20 years ever since Voyager came home. So it's about 20 years. So she's obviously gotten more humanity than before. She's gotten more human look. She's got long blonde hair now. She, her style has changed a whole lot. So it'll be interesting to see how they develop her in it. Also, we saw just a very quick glimpse of one of the very first Borg you see in The Next Generation, which was Hugh.
Oh.
And he has a more human look now as well. He's got hair. He's wearing normal clothes. He doesn't look like a Borg anymore. Right. And then we get a more prolonged look of a massive blue Borg cube that has a big massive chunk taken out of the side of it.
So way bigger than that one we see in the first one.
Way bigger than the first the first Borg cube you see in Star Trek and Next Generation. It's a big one, but it's generally, when it came to the Borg, it was green. So I don't know what the blue signifies. And it seems to be that there's loads of smaller ships kind of flying in and around it and inside it. So maybe it's like an abandoned cube or something like that. We don't really know
yet. Or the Mother Borg or whatever.
It could be a different type of Borg. It could be, anything could be going on.
Yeah.
But you're kind of getting feels from, you're going to get a little bit of Romulan in it. Because in the trailer as well, you got a glimpse of a Romulan bird of prey. Which hasn't been seen in the show since the original series back in the 60s. They haven't been in any of the episodes. So it's interesting to see an older ship come back. What's the significance? We don't know. Lots and lots to look forward to in this. This just made me so much more excited for it. But the one thing that has been striking fans the most is that the original trailer, you got the tiniest glimpse of Picard talking to Data.
Yes.
And in the new trailer, you get a little bit more.
Okay.
But it becomes more apparent then you think, maybe he's not actually speaking to Data. Maybe it's more a dream. Because in the trailer, he's speaking to Data, but he's wearing his original Next Generation uniform.
Right.
And Data is wearing a Next Generation uniform, and Data is painting a picture in the vineyard. So I think it possibly a dream sequence or a holodeck or something like that. We don't really know. But it's going to be very interesting to see. The rumours are that, you know, it's already been confirmed you've got Seven of Nine back. You've got Picard back. You've got Riker back. You've got Troy back.
Yes, I do.
The rumours are that you might have a cameo from Geordi and from Worf as well.
Wow.
Because there was a picture taken of one of the, you know, the action boards that you see on set, and there was a picture taken of those, and all the cast had signed that, and there right in the middle was Worf and Geordi's signature there. So were they just visiting on the day? Were they actually filming on the day? We don't know yet. Nothing has been confirmed. Absolutely nothing confirmed yet. And I'm hoping that come the end of this month, we're going to have a few more answers, because at the end of this month, I'll be going away on a little trip to Portugal. But then as soon as I come back from Portugal, I'll be flying straight over to Birmingham. And it's going to be from Friday, October 25th, Friday, October 25th to Sunday, October 27th. It's going to be Star Trek Destination Europe in Birmingham. It's the biggest Star Trek convention in Europe. Generally, they do three big conventions in the world. You've got Star Trek Las Vegas, Star Trek Birmingham, and Star Trek Germany. Now, it changes venue in Germany, Dusseldorf and Berlin and whatnot. I know they're doing another Germany next March, I believe. But the next big one is Birmingham. We're hoping that we're going to get a few more tidbits from Star Trek Picard, maybe a little bit more from the new series of Star Trek Discovery. So much more. This year, I think there's about 25 to 30 Star Trek actors going to be there.
Wow.
So there's a huge amount of actors going to be there. It's very similar to Star Wars Celebration that was in London a few years ago that I actually went to as well. It's going to be absolutely crazy.
Cool.
I can't wait to go. I'm literally only going over for the night, but I have a weekend ticket, so I'm going over early in the Saturday morning. Hopefully we will get a couple of interviews done with a couple of Star Wars actors. I'm hoping to get one in particular who is nowadays is a very outspoken man against Mr. Donald Trump. but back in the day, he was one of my favourite characters in Star Trek Deep Space Nine, which was General Martok.
Okay.
And he's played by, and I hope I get his name right, J.G. Hertzler, and he will be there as well. I've paid for my photograph to be taken with him in full costume on a Klingon throne, so very happy to be going over to meet him and get a picture taken with him and to meet all the other fantastic actors. And of course, I'll be going over as well with lots of members from the USS Cucullin. We had a couple of members on there a little while ago, Frank and John. Hello guys, how are you? I hope to see you over in Birmingham. So there's a fairly large contingent. You didn't do that right.
I know. No, I can't do it. Right. I can't
so there
do it.
I can do it with both hands. And I'm doing the Vulcan sign for live long and prosper. You can do both hands in my sleep, Dave. No, you're rubbish.
Yeah, no.
But, so that's going over there. Hopefully we get a bit more about Picard. Hopefully we get a bit more about Discovery.
Awesome.
And then various other projects that are coming out as well. Now, moving swiftly on, Dave, there's a new console coming out next year.
Indeed, the PS5 is going to be released in 2020. Now, as we stand, we don't know much about the design, or we don't know anything really about the collection of games. That's still a mystery. Mm-hmm. But we do have a bit of news about the way the controller will be.
Yeah.
Now, it's a similar design to the PS4, by the looks of things. But rather than actually having the controls where like it vibrates like crazy,
mm-hmm.
apparently it has this technology now very similar to mobile phones where it just takes a little off for like when you kick a ball or something. That's similar to how the phones are used now. Now, you know more about this technology than
I do. I think it's called a haptic tech.
Yes.
Haptic tech. And how it's going to work is that, let's say you're playing Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
And you're driving along and you go, oh crap, and you crash into a wall. Well, you're going to get a fairly heavy vibration out of that because, you're crashing into a wall, Dave.
Mm.
Hope you don't do that in real life. Whereas if you're playing like FIFA, and you're going along, you're going to get very slight vibrations of you running, and then a bigger vibration when you kick the ball, but it won't be anything compared to if you crash into a wall in Grand Theft Auto.
Mm.
So it's all going to be tuned into exactly what happens in the game. Generally, with the older joypads, you would have, if something happened, it would vibrate, and it was just a general and it vibrated. Whereas this is going to be very subtle. So, again, if you kick a ball, it's going to be the slightest little beep. Or if you are attacking something or you're shooting a gun, you get a blowback from that. You're going to feel vibration of that. So it's a lot more in tune to the games,
gotcha.
A lot more in tune to the people. So it's going to be very, very interesting. Late 2020 is what we're being told.
Christmas time.
Yeah. Of course. It has to be before Christmas.
It makes sense.
It'll be interesting to see if Microsoft move ahead with their console, and it's going to be before or after.
So their version of another Xbox.
It'll probably be the Xbox 2 or the Xbox 20 or the whatever it is.
Xbox TWO or TWO. So I almost didn't know how to pronounce two there.
We wait and see on that one, but I'm excited for that. I'm a big PlayStation guy. I've always been PlayStation over Xbox.
That's been me too.
So we'll see how it goes. Dave, you have one more item on the agenda here, and it's something that we're both really looking forward
to. I'm particularly looking forward to this now because I do love my gangster movies. And this one now it doesn't really know if it's an actual movie or a series, and I'd like to think it's a series.
As far as I know, it's a movie.
But whatever the case, we've recently seen trailers now for The Irishman.
Oh, yes.
Which stars Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, and Joe Pesci, all Oscar winners.
Oh. And
that's like those three names alone are in the Mount Rushmore of American gangster movies.
Absolutely, yeah. You just look at all three of those.
Yeah.
Just those three actors. And you're like,
we don't need to say anything else.
You really don't.
We don't know much about the trailer. Like, the trailer seems to link a lot with American history, or certainly the mafia, like back in the day. But it certainly links to maybe one or two assassinations, which makes it even more interesting. And maybe I like to think that Robert De Niro's character in this, he looks like he's the main antagonist. What's the main words again? When he's a good guy. Not antagonist, but the opposite.
Protagonist.
Thank you. So he looks like he's the main protagonist or antagonist, whatever. Where he's the guy.
He's an agonist. Let's leave it at that.
Agonist. But long story short, it's like he seems like the main guy here on that one, and I've lost train of thought after that.
Well, he seems to be the main guy.
Yeah.
As far as I'm aware.
But the point is, like, he seems to be involved in it, or some sort of hitman involved in this. That's what I meant to say. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. It's very clear from the trailer that he's some sort of hitman, and he goes out and he works for the mafia. You've got Joe Pesci. Unclear. So maybe he could be a Don. He could be something along the lines of that. But certainly somebody higher up in some sort of organization.
Yeah.
And then you've got Al Pacino, who is playing Jimmy Hoffa.
Hmm.
Now, I wouldn't know a lot about Jimmy Hoffa.
Me neither.
But Jimmy Hoffa would be like he was a man for the unions, and he wanted to get the unions on side, and he went missing. and his body has never been found.
Which makes it more interesting.
Exactly. So it'll be interesting to see exactly how
so
it goes.
So there's a bit of reality with this, which again...
Like, oh, absolutely.
That's what makes this more intriguing for me. It's not entirely based on fiction.
Mm. Well, you see, I like a bit of reality in my films. Now, there was, a couple of years ago, there was a film made about Jimmy Hoffa. And it starred Jack Nicholson as Jimmy Hoffa.
Okay.
And his friend and the guy he worked with was played by Danny DeVito. Which is an interesting pairing. And it was supposed to be set around Jimmy Hoffa's life and then how eventually he was... Because he was murdered. He was murdered. But they've never recovered his body, so it's... Where is he? You know, he has to be somewhere. Either that or he was fed to some pigs. Just, we don't know.
You know the really weird thing about Jimmy Hoffa? I'm just looking at him up now. Mm. I'm looking him up on Wikipedia, and he disappeared in 1975, but they said he died 7 years later. Was it just to give up research then?
Maybe that's like, you have to wait 7 years to finally declare somebody dead.
Perhaps.
Something like that. It's a weird thing, though.
I know. That's why.
But yeah, no, as far as I'm aware, it was widely speculated that he was killed by the mafia. So that's something that we could be seeing in The Irishman. We don't know. But the trailer was amazing. And I have to say, I'm not a big fan of de-aging somebody with CGI. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. A couple of Marvel movies, it worked okay.
Oh, wait, is that what they did for Robert De Niro?
In parts of the trailer, you can see he's been de-aged.
Wow.
It's de-aged.
I can't find the makeup right lady was on a field day that day. So.
It'll be interesting to see exactly how it works. Mm. But I'm really looking forward to it. There's a lot of hype around this. It's a Netflix original, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. I'd love to see it in the cinema. I hope it comes to the cinema. It's the type of movie that you want to have a big bucket of popcorn watching.
Yes.
Maybe a few drinks, maybe some nachos, maybe some ice cream, chocolate, sweets.
Mm-hmm.
Feed up.
You can do that at home.
Now I just want to go home to bed.
You can do that at home, you know.
But I'd like, yeah, see, I've got like a 50-inch screen. I'd want like a million-inch screen for something like that, like something really big.
I couldn't be more in 1960s with my laptop, big, enormous 12-inch screen. Which, you know, a lot of people are like that nowadays.
Yeah.
We're going back to the 1960s, except with a laptop, not a TV.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm futuristic, but I'm old-fashioned at the same
time. Futuristic and old-fashioned, all in one. Oh, dear. Well, there was actually...
Modern technology.
There was one thing I actually missed out on when we were talking about the Marvel stuff there.
Oh, yeah.
I completely forgot about this, is that the one thing I said to the wife this year, I said, if you want to buy me something for Christmas, you buy me one... Or the other. The entire Blu-ray box set of Game of Thrones, when it comes out, obviously, love Game of Thrones. Or the entire movie Blu-ray box set of Infinity Saga.
Wow.
And she said, okay, I'll get you one or the other. Well, from the price tags on these, I'm not getting either.
At least 200, I'm guessing.
They haven't announced the Game of Thrones one yet. Which I'm very worried about because it just means it's going to be a lot of money.
All right, Avengers, let me think about this.
Right, so the MCU Infinity Saga Blu-ray box set.
I'm going to say €350.
No.
Don't tell me it's higher than that.
I don't even know if it's official. It was released during the week that the box set, 23-movie Blu-ray box set with an additional disc for all the extras and cutscenes and the whole lot.
Okay, that's going to cost a lot more.
Was coming in at... Now, remember, Dave, this is Blu-ray, not normal DVD.
Okay, it's going to cost less.
It's going to come in at approximately $550.
That's actually less than I thought. I was expecting $700 for a second.
$550, okay.
Which is about...
So you'd say to yourself, well, that's about maybe €490.
No. Yeah.
About $490?
Yeah, no, I'll tell you now, $550 is...
$550 into euros, Dave.
€500 into that, actually.
Well, is that right? So you'll say €500. So you'd say to yourself, that's grand, we get it in Ireland for €500.
But it's Ireland.
Not a hope you're getting it for €500.
But
you're going to get it, I'm going to speculate that we're going to get it, it's going to come in about £700. That's about About 500 quid too expensive for my wife, I can tell you. That's a crazy amount of money. So it's that's going to be a, I'll wait until it goes down in price buy. But, oh.
Get for your birthday.
I really, no. That's the worst part about my birthday, Dave.
Don't tell me it's Christmas time. Or near
Christmas is the 25th of December. My birthday is the 20th of January. Almost exactly a month later. Which means she won't have any bloody money.
I can sort of get that because my birthday's, well, it's not as long, but it's it's a bit longer, I should say, but it's, mine's a month after that, or 2 months after Christmas, so it's 20th February in my case.
It's not too bad. Like, I remember, like,
the extra month makes a huge
difference.
I remember
wanting to go out for a drink for my birthday 1 year, and people are saying, oh, we just don't have the money after Christmas. Like, I'm not asking for you to go away or spend loads of money, or like, let's just go for a pint.
Where's the extra bob from the savings accounts, lads?
Exactly.
Control your money.
Control your money.
I mean, Christmas bonuses are there for the reason. What happens to your day-to-day expenses? It's common sense, lads.
Wait, who gets Christmas bonuses nowadays? Well, actually, I can't complain. I get a Christmas bonus. I a lot of people don't get bonuses, Dave.
Well, I don't
unless
know.
You're on the social welfare.
Actually, that's not true.
No,
you do get Christmas bonuses on the people on the dole. You get double pay. On the first week of December. That's your Christmas bonus. Can you believe that?
Well, I'm handing me nose. Screw that.
I don't know about my job yet, but we'll see.
Yeah, you never know. I can't complain. I do get an extra week's wages, so I do get double.
That's not bad.
And then the taxman says, "Ha ha, we're going to take all that away."
Thank you,
Mr. Taxman.
I'm getting away with it so far. It's great. I shouldn't say that, but...
Good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all the news we have for you this weekend. Dude, there was a lot of news in there, Dave.
Yeah.
But just to give you a little update on the next couple of shows that's going to be happening over the next few months. It might not be the next one or the one after that, but over the next few months, you're going to be hearing shows from... people in Games Workshop. I'm going to be talking to the guys in Games Workshop about all the different games that they have. We're going to have hopefully a little demonstration. It won't be able to see it, but you'll be able to hear us play it. And I'm going to be talking to how they got into the hobby. I'm going to be talking to people in Dublin City Comics, one of the best, probably the best comic shop in Dublin.
They're actually cool
probably
guys.
In Ireland. Really, really nice guys.
Like, they're really helpful.
I talk to the guys all the time, and when there's any type of convention on, they're always there. Mm. I always go...
I talked to the guy once or twice before. He's lovely.
Really, really nice guys in there. Jason is one of the main guys in there. I'll be in to talk to him about comics and about toys and about what's going to be popular for this Christmas. We're going to have a couple of debates coming up over the next couple of months. We're going to have the big DC versus Marvel debate. But this isn't any normal debate, Dave. This is going to be two former guys that we've had on the show before. It's going to be Team Rob versus Team Vic. DC versus Marvel. But it's not just going to be one on each team. There's going to be multiple people on these teams. We're going to have people that we've had on the show before. Not going to name names yet, but it's going to be a big, big, big debate. We've also going to have the big Star Trek debate over the next couple of months as well, with the USS Cullen coming back in to talk to us about which series of Star Trek was the best. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to miss that one because it's going to be heated. There's going to be fisticuffs. I think we're going to have to video record this, Dave, because it's going to be absolute killings on this one. And then the big one that we're going to have before the next Star Wars movie comes out, Rise of the Skywalker, we're going to have the big Star Wars debate, which trilogy is the best. And we're going to have members from some of the local Irish Star Wars costuming groups coming in to talk on that debate.
Awesome.
So absolutely action-packed couple of months going ahead. I do apologise that we haven't been on the online for a couple of weeks.
Real life,
that's just that's just been me being lazy and me wanting to enjoy my 10th anniversary weekend.
How dare you apologise for that?
How dare I? It's disgraceful. But we're back, and hopefully you're going to continue listening in, fingers crossed. Hopefully then the next show that you'll hear will be from Birmingham. It'll be from the Star Trek Destination convention over in Birmingham, Friday, October 25th to Sunday, October 27th. And I hope to have a show ready for when I come back. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed listening to the show. I've enjoyed doing it. Dave, you've enjoyed yourself.
Much indeed, as always.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, next month. From myself, Jerry, and from Dave, I've been Jerry, you've been Nerdy. Thanks very much.